What's up, everyone, and welcome to episode number 378 of the Action Movie Guys podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and my co-host is...
Alex Figueroa.
And on this episode, we are continuing on with our Monster Movie Month. This is where we are reviewing, by monster movies, we're not talking horror monsters. We're talking big, giant, destruction, kaiju monster movies. We've done some Godzillas, some Kongs. We've done a little bit of everything. Well, that's all we've done so far. But now we're finally doing something other than Godzilla or King Kong. This is a movie from 2013 called Pacific Rim, directed by the great Guillermo del Toro. Now, Alex, without saying anything else, did you see this movie when it came out, or was like more recent your first time watching?
I did not see this in the theater. Actually, I don't even think I seen it even when it was released on disc. I got to see this movie because it was a gift. I got this and I got to see it for the first time.
Okay. So I saw this in IMAX opening night when it came out with a group of friends. I saw it. It was in IMAX. It was big and loud. Now, I will say, fun fact about this movie. We did the MonsterVerse movies just recently, which of course, Warner Brothers and Legendary Pictures. This movie was also Legendary and Warner Brothers, and actually came out the year before Godzilla, the Gareth Edwards Godzilla movie. So they, I feel like almost it was like a test. It was like, you know what, let's do a big monster movie. Let's see what happens. We'll get Del Toro. He's a popular director. It was successful. Obviously, they did make a sequel. It made money. And for a long time, a lot of people wanted the ultimate crossover, which would have been Godzilla versus Kong versus like Pacific Rim Jaegers. And they could have done it because Legendary owns the rights to to all three, and they didn't do it. It's weird.
They still could do it. They can't. You know, and what? You could say that the Pacific Rim program is part of Monarch.
Exactly. You could. They like can literally just say
sub thingy.
They can literally just say Monarch was actually in charge the whole time.
And it was like a sub part of
also,
whatever.
If you remember, movie, this takes place in the future. So it does not have to tie to any of the stories that have happened already, because this movie is set in, as a matter of fact, the scenes that we get like at the end of the movie were set in 2025. So they still haven't even happened. So in the MonsterVerse, they could just fast forward to like 2030 and the Jaegers can exist. And so I'm just saying, I remember it was like not a conspiracy theory, but like people were like, they're going to appear, and they never did. So Legendary, Warner Brothers, what are you doing? Imagine if Mechagodzilla was actually a Jaeger gone haywire. Could have been.
Yeah.
Anyway, it didn't happen. Now let's give you some Rotten Tomatoes scores and let's get into this review. I'm interested to see what you think, because I love monster movies and you're not the biggest fan, even though you've given these some praise here and there. You know, our format does allow you to, you know, highlight certain things, but you're not crazy with these movies. I am crazy with these movies. This one, good reviews. Not amazing, but very good. 72% critic score. So it's fresh. And a 77% audience score. So a double fresh. Most people like it. 7 out of 10 people think this is a fun movie. Are you surprised with those numbers at all?
No. I kind of agree with these numbers, to be honest with you.
And I think Del Toro has a lot to do with it. He's such a creative mind.
Oh, he's so good.
Yeah. We'll get to it when we talk about storyline and stuff, but the dude can craft a world, a universe, character. Like, it's the strong suit of him, in my opinion. He's got a mind of a storyteller. He's a storyteller. So we're going to get into this. Let's talk about our lead character. Now, in this one, it's a little bit of an ensemble, but Charlie Hunnam plays our lead character. His name is Raleigh Beckett. What did you think of him? And then obviously Idris Elba is one of our leads, like a side lead. You get the scientist. Go ahead. What did you think?
I liked him. I mean, he's a typical leading man, right? Him and his brother was one side of the machine and the other side. And then tragedy happens. He loses his brother because they were cocky. Well, he wasn't cocky. Well, I guess he was in the beginning. Yeah, in the beginning, he was kind of cocky, because then he loses that after his brother's death. So, yeah, he was kind of cocky and they save the world, which that part in the beginning sets up the entire movie very well, because regardless, they were trying to save that boat from getting attacked from whatever. And it went over their heads and all this stuff. But anyway, that was set up very well. The main character himself, I thought it was really cool. He was low down. He was, when he crashed, he pretty much disappeared, right? They didn't tell him and they found him. He thought he was dead. But I kind of liked that. He was just with the humans again. He was trying to ground himself.
Construction worker, pretty much.
Yeah. That's what he did. Yeah, he was like engineering and doing all that. So, yeah, so I kind of like that whole thing. I like the character. You know, it's funny. He reminded me of Oliver Queen as Green Arrow. If you would put him in that DC world, I think I would put him as Oliver Queen. But anyway, I thought he was really good. I liked the new chick that replaces the brother. They had good chemistry with each other. Ezra Alba, I liked very well in this. I mean, there's nothing wrong with Ezra Alba. He's really good in anything he does. Very good. And it's funny because every time he talks, I always think of Zootopia, the big...
The police chief guy?
Yeah. That's voice him. Of him. True. So it's kind of funny. So when he gets mad, I always think of the police chief.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty funny. But the humans were... I like the scientist guys. They were really funny in this one. Very quirky.
Charlie
both
Day.
Very... Worked very well. And you said it. Guillermo del Toro knows how to craft and develop characters very well. And that's why I'm kind of like ashamed and bummed out. Like all these years that we got with superhero movies that we never got to see him helm a DC pro. I mean, I know he did Hellboy before and everyone Blade starts going crazy.
That's a Marvel.
Yeah, he did Blade.
Yeah.
But what I mean is like a true superhero movie. Like, I mean, him helming
like a big
Batman.
Superhero. Like someone like Batman, who everyone knows. Yeah.
Yeah, like in the world of Batman or like, you know who he would be really well? And tell me if I'm wrong. I think Guillermo del Toro would be a perfect director to helm Scarecrow.
I have an even better one for you. What if he did Constantine?
Constantine with John Wick. I was going to say John Wick. With Keanu Reeves back.
Because you know he likes that dark fairy tale fantasy.
Demons
type.
And...
What about Constantine? I feel like he would not only would knock it out the park, it'd be a grand slam.
I like that. Yeah.
That would be really good. Any of the dark characters, I think he would crush.
Yeah, Magical Zatanna and all that crap. Yeah.
Swamp Thing.
Yeah. I mean, not the one that I saw.
Adrian Barbeau.
I
think he would kill Constantine, honestly. Not kill him. I think he would kill that movie. That would be amazing.
I agree with you. Okay, that would be pretty good. That one, him and Scarecrow. I think Scarecrow would work too.
The origin of him or something, yeah.
But anyway, with that sidetrack there. But yes, lead characters, I gave him a 4. I thought they were great in this movie.
Yes.
To be honest with you.
So I don't like Charlie Hunnam as an actor that much. I'm not really. I didn't watch Sons of Anarchy. I actually like him in when he's allowed to be British. I don't like him when he does an American accent. I don't know why. I'm not a fan. So like, I like him a little. He did a couple of movies with Del Toro because he was also in Crimson Peak. He's okay in that, but I do like him in the Guy Ritchie movie. Like, I like him in The Gentleman. I think he's great. So this one, I think he's good. I like the character though. Again, we're scoring the character, so I don't really like the actor that much. But the character, I like the arc a little bit. Again, you mentioned in our last review, but. Little Maverick, you know, Top Gun Maverick, little hot shot. He's kind of a hot shot. Wake up, brother. We're going to get in this machine. We're going to kill another kaiju. We're going to add him to the list. You know, he's very arrogant, but endearing. Like, he's not annoying arrogant. You know what I mean? But you could tell he's going to screw up. They got to go on a lesson or not even screw up. Something bad's going to happen and he's going to go on a journey. I like the journey. It's good. The saving, not saving Grace, because I do think he's a good character, but Idris Elba in this movie. This is in my top 3 favorite Idris Elba performances. Something about, he got a little mustache. He does not mess around. There's a scene, the one scene alone that I love is when he tells him, like, you know, they get into this whole fight. He tells him, like, you're grounded. You're not going to be whatever. And they're walking. He's like, you can't, the Japanese girl's not going in there. And then they're walking and he grabs his arm and the way he turns and looks at him after he grabbed his arm. And he's like, first of all, don't ever touch me. Second of all, don't ever touch me. And like, I was scared. I was like, this guy is. And then he gives him the whole speech. And then he's like, are we clear? And he's like, yes, sir. And then he just like leans over and points at his ear. Like, say yes, sir. He suns him so hard. I love it. Idris Elba was great in this movie. He is the man. Everyone else is good. I like Charlie Day. You're right. I like more Mako. That's the girl. I like her arc. She has like a sad backstory. It causes some trouble for her, but then ultimately she's a hero. I also like the side characters, like the Australian, the dad and son that pilot the other machine. I like them. I like the other scientist. My boy Ron Perlman is a guy named Hannibal Chow. Amazing name. He's like, I picked my favorite character from history and my second favorite Szechuan restaurant in New York. That's like Del Toro's, you know, like go-to guy, Ron Perlman. So I don't know. I gave it a 4 as well. Not a 5 still, but good characters that are fun to watch. All right, main villains. This is the monsters. There's like an alien race from another dimension. They open a portal in the water in the Pacific Ocean, and it leads to these gigantic kaiju monsters coming out. So they are the villain.
Five. I give credit where credit's due. I'm not big on these movies. I'm not, and I don't run and gravitate to them. But I do give credit when there's credit need to be given. And again, when I first saw this movie, I wasn't not into it, and I was like in this whole like hate everything. If I don't like it, I'm not going to watch it or whatever. Yeah. But I gave it a chance. But this one, it's kind of worked. So it was like, all right, let me sit down and actually watch it and see if I like it. I did enjoy the monsters. The monsters were really good. I love that they got smarter throughout the movie. Like they started to notice, wait a minute, they got weapons, they started blocking, and they started ripping their chests and heads off. And you know, Del Toro does such a great thing with even monsters, right? Like they're CGI. And I said this even with Khan. If you got a team of great computer guys that could put together these monsters, that could give them emotions that you could follow through even when you're watching the movies, then you did a great job. This movie does that. In the beginning, these machines were whipping the shit out of these monsters. I mean, they were whooping them. And then the tables have turned because these dudes were like, oh, hell no. He had one with a pointy, short, like rhino fin, and it was ramming through them. And I was like, yo, this is really dope. Like, it wasn't like the typical, like, one type fits all type monster. It was just like, you know he's going to defeat them. And then you're just sitting there like it's Power Rangers all over again. No, these monsters was just like, wait a minute. These dudes are robots. So they started, biting the crap on and ripping it out. I liked it a lot. And I gave them fives. They had a motive, right? Like they were coming out of the Pacific Ocean. And I kind of like that. Now, Nate, I don't know if you could tell me this, but was this storyline or anything, is this original or is this Guillermo del Toro's mind?
Yep.
Story or
it's totally original. He said in an interview he came up with this. He said he wanted to make a movie that reminded him of when he was a little kid and he was playing with his toys in a sandbox and just like smashing them together. And that genesis, it's totally original. It's not based on any property.
Yeah, because I mean, it's very well put together. I'm very shocked that he didn't come back for a sequel or then continuing this franchise, because I could see this going on and on or connecting this to the Godzilla somewhere somehow. But yeah, okay, I'm very shocked. But yeah, I give it a five for the monsters.
Right there with you. You know, we gotta take these movies as they come. And how do these villains factor in? They pretty much destroy. They kill so many people. They destroy like Sydney, Australia, Hong Kong. So this is a good comparison because there's a fight here in Hong Kong similar to the fight in Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah,
where they fight in Hong Kong. I would wager to say this one might even be better than that one. I mean, they're going through the neon buildings and all that kind of stuff. You're right. The intelligent beings, the aliens, if you will, we'll call them, they're aliens. They develop these monsters. And then every time, it's like Doomsday. Every time they get killed, they come back with something that like won't allow that same thing to kill them, right? So by the end, by the third act, you're getting these monsters that freaking one of them has like an EMP blast that turns off electricity. Yeah. One of them has like acid spit that eats through the, that eats through stuff. Then one of them has wings and all of a sudden it could fly. Then one of them has a little monster inside of it that like they keep getting progressively crazier. That by the time they get to the category five at the end, the thing is like the biggest monster that ever existed. I love it. You got to do that. You can't just keep sending out the same things. The design on them is great. Again, mm-hmm. 2013, this movie looks amazing. I watched it in 4K. It looks fantastic. The CGI is great. Now, I don't love the first fight because it's all in the dark and the rain, and the same thing I said about King of the Monsters, but every other one looks fantastic. You could tell what's going on, and there's just something cool about a big robot punching a big monster in the face, like literally winding up, punching it. And I love all the little quirks with like the villains. Like I said, like you, like the rhino horn. There's one that's like a crab. There's one that can fly. Like it's cool. They're different. They look different. It's unique. I love the villains. A 5 out of 5. They cause a lot of mayhem and they're tough to defeat. That's the as they should be. It was not easy. People die. Good villains. Great villains. Action.
That's a 5. I don't remember all this action. And I guess it's because we do a podcast now.
You were hating
it
the first time. You're like, I hate monsters.
I didn't see the movie for what it was. And this movie has action and I liked it. I really enjoyed it. I was like, wow, I agree with you. This has to be better than the Godzilla versus Khan fight. Yeah. 10 times better. I mean, what was really cool about it also was that the humans were not trying to destroy Tokyo. Like they stopped, but the monsters kept throwing them into the cities. Yeah. So I was just like, okay, that's pretty cool. Like they didn't have them running into the city. Like they literally stopped in the ocean, but these monsters picked them up and chucked them into the thing. So I like that. My favorite scene, dude, is when they were like, where did it go? And it came out of the building and grabbed them then smashed into the, I was like, yo, that's so creative. Yep. I mean, people were dead. dead, but I was like, who cares in this part now? And then he took the face and he's wrapping it into the buildings. Like, I liked it. Like I said, unique fights with all of these. Like, they really did a great job. Like, Guillermo del Toro did a great job with this. I said it again, but I'm very stunned that this guy does not do a 3-movie arc with this in his creation. But you know what it is? I think he's like, he has so much story to tell that he's like, I did it. You know, he's like, I told my story. Let someone else do it, continue, and I'm on to a next story to tell. My mind is like, he looks like one of those that just have books of shit in his house of ideas that he couldn't get through. But I really enjoyed the fight. So with that said, yeah, I gave it a 5.
Yeah, and Hellboy, that's the thing. Hellboy, he did 2. That's the only one he did a sequel to. And everyone's like, well, where was the third one? And he's like, I just want, yeah, you know, I'm done. I want to move on to something else. That's why I respect him, even though he gets attached to projects and then has to drop out because he has too much on his plate. But at the same time, I respect him for not just milking stuff. I'm going to make 7 Pacific Rims. No. He's like, I want to do Pinocchio stop motion animation. I want to do, you know, Frankenstein. So I love him. 5. There's nothing to really discuss here. There's tons of action. It looks amazing. It's fun as heck. You get, I love the part where the flying one takes him up to like into space almost.
Space, yeah.
Yeah. And then he like pulls out, he's like, we got no more weapons. And she's like, no, we got one more. And it's like, sword. And the sword comes out and he slices it in half. It's such a good shot. And then he's like plummeting back down to Earth in the atmosphere. And they do the, like, Del Toro thought of everything. He's like, okay, if this thing is flying down to Earth, how can we stop it? It blasts that, you know, out of its chest to slow it down a little bit. And I even love the part where it lands in that like football stadium. And the smoke, you know, like, oh, it's so good. Something we talked about in the Godzilla vs. Kong reviews or Godzilla movies. How does Godzilla stand in the ocean sometimes when he's, you know, the ocean's very deep? Well, this movie was very smart, because these things, first of all, they are humongous. I mean, they look like they're a mile tall. I don't know. If you notice, all the fights happen close enough to land where you could be like, yes, that would be able to stand at that depth. There's always in the background some buildings. When they're fighting in Antarctica at the beginning, it's like there you could see the land, whatever. He didn't just put them out in the middle of nowhere. And when they do, guess what? They're all underwater. When they actually go to
submerge.
They're submerged. Yeah. So look at Del Toro. It could be done. You don't just have to make it up and be like, I'm going to make these guys stand up in the middle of the ocean where it's 2 miles deep. So good on him. But the action's amazing. It's and it looks great. Again, 5 out of 5. Storyline.
You know, it's funny that you said that because I was thinking about that too. I'm like, damn, Godzilla literally stood up in the scene with the Intrepid in the middle of the ocean. He literally stood up angry and then swam away. And I was just like, what? Okay, whatever. But you're absolutely like the depth of feel. Like even when they submerged, I love that wide angle shot because you see the mass small and you saw the ocean really big. So it's telling you that ocean is a big place. Yeah. Where are they going? So I agree with you. I even like that.
Oh,
and it's kind of...
And I don't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry. I forgot to mention. I hate underwater action. The underwater action in this, I like. Because they don't move way slower than normal because they're machines. They still... So it looks good. Anyway.
No, I agree with you on that. Even... I mean, it did take a while for their weapons to work underwater, though. If you notice, when they took out the sword, it took, like, longer than usual.
That's fine. But at least they didn't move. Like,
makes sense,
they weren't, like...
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That is true in that form. Okay, storyline. Okay, so I gave this a 4.5.
Ooh, okay.
I really enjoyed the storyline, and I thought it was... the reason I gave it a 0.5, I gave it a 4. I gave it the extra 0.5 because I thought it was unique storyline. Mm-hmm. And then knowing... Now that you told me that it was original from his mind, I had to give the 0.5. Like, I literally changed it while we were talking because I was just like, that is really hard to come up with is an original story that makes sense and it makes the audience engage with these characters, right? Like, I mean, regardless if you don't like the main guy or you like Ezra Alba, it doesn't matter because it was all heartfelt, like throughout the end. Like, even with the guy's dick son, like his ass beat, I was like, bro, you gotta get punched in your mouth one of these days. And he does. And I was like, thank God someone did it. I liked it. He kept getting up and continue going at it. And I was just like, that's pretty cool. That's good for him. He's very arrogant. And then at the end, he dies. So it's like,
sacrifice,
you know, sacrifice for the world. So you're like, okay, cool. I liked the storyline a lot. I thought it was very, like I said, I thought the monsters coming out of the ocean, very cool. You could literally say that it came from the hollow world from Godzilla. If you really want to go into that whole debate on that, really cool. The science of it. I can't say it's plausible because I'm not a scientist, but I thought it made sense and it wasn't no gobbledygook that I'm like, what? It made sense. They had to stop a portal from opening and it worked. I love the scene that the guy went into the mine of the
drift
thing.
Scene. They call it
the drift scene.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny when Ron Perlman was like, you drifted? He goes, yeah. He's here after you. He's like, get out of my shop. Yeah, right. He's like, what do you mean? He goes, it works two ways, man. It's like a bridge.
I thought that was funny.
He was like, you mean to tell me that it's here for me? I thought that's, like I said, there was a lot of scenes that are comedic, some scenes that worked very well. So again, I might have to give it credit where credit's due. I gave it 4.5.
Yeah, I think this is a really good storyline. I mean, at the end of the day, you're right, it's original. They had to come up with everything on the fly. It's not based off Godzilla. It's not based off King Kong. It's not based off of anything. It's just original. That's a plus. Good characters with backstories. Mako has a backstory. Idris Elba's character has a backstory. He's sick. They have their relationship. Like, the character development is good. World is good. And see, this is a case where this movie's 2 hours. It's like 2 hours and 10 minutes or something like that. I think it's a little over 2 hours. But it works. It's never boring. I do think it's 2 hours and 12 minutes. I think they used their time wisely. They developed characters. They made it interesting to watch. They created a world. It's set in the future. You have these big Jaegers. You have the government who wants to shut them down. They're like, we're going to make one last stand. This is our last opportunity. We got to gather the last few of these Jaegers that we have, see if we could stop them. You're invested the whole time to create the stuff about the bridge and the drifting. And I could have never thought of something like that. That's cool. He's like, all right, to work this machine, we have to sync our minds together. I'm going to see your memories. You're going to see my memories. We have to be compatible. And then the way they maneuver, I think it looks cool, by the way, where they're like walking in those machines and it walks. I'm the right side. I throw a punch. You're the left. All of that is very creative and unique and clever. I gave it a 4. I think it's really, really, really good. I think it's really good. And I've always liked this movie a lot. So 4 and 4.5. I love it. Okay. What is your overall?
Okay. So it's interesting, right? Because you have a balance of everything. Storytelling, action, great visual work, great camera work in terms of action sequences. De Toro does a great job. Even setting up the world, even when he goes into the to the China shop, mm-hmm. and the guy goes, hold on right here, and it opens the thing, and it opens up to another world, and you see all the body parts of all the kaiju monsters and everything, or titans, or whatever they call it.
Kaiju.
And I was just like, wow, it's very, like, it reminded me of Hellboy. Like, he does so much detail work in all that. So I'm giving a lot of credit to him, and he's like one of my top 5 directors. Like, I don't watch much of Guillermo del Toro's work. Like, I don't watch all his stuff, but when I do sit down, I do technically enjoy all of it, because I always love, one thing I do love, because I guess because of my whole, like, I love camera work and I love like color grading and all that. And I always say that he's always top up there.
Oh, yeah.
Does great work visually. So with that, I gave it a 4. I thought this was a great movie. So 4.
I second everything you said. I think Del Toro is one of my favorite directors. Absolutely. He's in my top 10. Like, if you said, who are your top 10 directors ever of all time in history? He'd be in it. I love all his movies. There's not one that I don't like. I think creatively, he just does stuff that's different. Sure, Hellboy's an adaptation and Blade is an adaptation. But guess what? Those are also awesome movies. Blade 2, we reviewed it. We liked it better than Blade 1. You know,
yeah.
Hellboy. And actually, I think Hellboy 2 is even better than Hellboy 1 as well. He just does fantasy so well. And this is a fantasy. This is a fantasy. It's a sci-fi fantasy movie. And it's amazing. It's a lot of fun. I gave it a 4 as well. And a great score, by the way. The music, I've seen this movie multiple times. And after you see it 2 or 3 times, the score, it will be like one you could notice, like you could pinpoint. It's really good. So it has a cool music, cool characters, cool visuals, looks great, shot well, everything about it. It's not perfect because it is, you know, there's a little stupidity here and there where I wasn't blown away by this movie, but I love this movie. You know what I mean? I don't think it's perfect, but I love it. So it's one of my favorite Del Toro movies. So 4 for me, 4 for you. What's your total points?
I have a 22.5. Yeah. I really like this movie.
I thought you were going to be like 15.
I was going to hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because I know you don't like these movies.
Yeah, I'm not too, like I said, I like giving credit where, I mean, if I don't like it, I'm not gonna shit all over it, but if it's a good movie, I'm not gonna shit on it. So I mean, you gotta, I guess when you sit down, when you review movies, I guess there's two type of people, right? You have them that if you don't like it, you're gonna shit on it regardless if it's good or not, and you hate the actors. And I mean, we have friends, aka Rich, who hates actors and hates all their popular movies.
Yeah.
I there's nothing I can do with that. Right. But for myself, I like Rich a lot. I love Rich. But what I'm saying is for myself, I can't do that. If I'm a reviewer, I have to review it. Like, I have to be balanced. Yes. And I can't just shit on it. So with that said, I like this a lot. And I'm already starting to look at where I can find these 4Ks because I rented this $4 mm-hmm. and the digital was so amazing looking. And I was like, damn, does the 4K look 10 times better than the digital?
I don't know if it's 10 times better, but it looks great. I do have it on 4. I have both of them on 4K. A sequel, we're not doing the sequel because when we do franchises, three or more is when we do all of them for sure. This one only has two. So we might do it down the line and sequels we never did month. We have that.
Yeah, pretty much. It goes in that.
Yeah.
So, with the Under Siege 2 Dark
Under
territory.
Siege 2, Crank 2, Matrix 4, which didn't exist when we did the Matrix. That's why.
That's true.
There's a few other, Kill Bill 2 we did separately. So there's a few other ones, but anyway, we might do it later down the line in the sequels we haven't covered month, but I love this movie. 22 out of 25. Great 4K too. Here's what we got coming up. Next week, we have a guest. So we will have our boy, our intern, one of our interns, Scotty Boy's coming back. He's going to be talking some Last Jedi with us. And then he's also going to be here to wrap up Monster Movie Month with a movie called Rampage, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, based off of the video game Rampage. I don't know if you remember this in arcades. There's a lizard, a gorilla, and a wolf, and they climb buildings and destroy them. That was the game. They made a movie out of that.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's a video game adaptation and a giant monster movie. So we're going to be checking that one out. I guess you've never seen this one then.
I never seen it. This is the first time.
Oh, okay. Great. Yeah. First time watch for Alex. We all know my love for The Rock. So I've seen this. I saw this. Matter of fact,
my love.
I love him. I saw this movie in Las Vegas at a theater called Screen X, which has screen goes onto the walls, on the side walls.
Oh, wow.
So there's projectors on each side that shoots onto the other wall. So it almost like comes out like wrapped around a little bit. It makes the screen like extra big. It's a gimmick though. It didn't really add much.
Oh, okay.
So like when they're,
cause you know what? My friend saw Twisters like that. And I was like, cause I'm watching and I'm like, I saw Twisters.
Yeah.
But I'm like, does that movie would even, unless you're going to show me the F5 from one corner and it goes around the entire room.
I'll tell you what it does.
It does look gimmicky though.
I'll tell you what it does. I didn't hate it. Like it looked fine. The effect works. Mm. But what it does is imagine Twisters. You have a screen. You're watching it on the screen. Everything's happening. Now imagine on the sides, it basically, let's say, expands the space they're in. So like in this movie, they're in space, right? And everything is still in the middle screen, but like there's more space. It looks wider.
So you look at you, so you're in depth into the
yes.
Movie.
It does not, nothing that's on the middle screen ever goes onto the walls.
Stretches.
So
okay.
You won't see like a monster on the wall. He'll still be in the middle, but like there'll be more buildings. Off to the, it'll make it look like that bigger. That's kind of what it does. It's not that.
It's gimmicky.
It's not great. It's gimmicky. Yeah, it's a way to get you to pay $5 extra for a movie ticket.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I think you're gonna tell me like you're gonna see like. I thought you were going to show me, like, he's going to show, like, let's say you see Jurassic Park and you see the velociraptor running from one side and it goes around.
Nope, you won't. You'll just see trees,
you pay,
more trees.
Sucker than pay $5.
Yeah, it's just a way to get you to pay $5. But I could say I saw it. So anyway, we're going to be doing some Last Jedi, Rampage. That's what we got.
All right. Well, I haven't seen Rampage. So I heard good things about it. A lot of people say they enjoyed it. I don't know. Never saw
we'll
it.
See.
So
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see on that one. So, all right, guys, you guys want to follow us in our social media accounts? Please follow Nate over on Instagram. At Netflix Reviews, check out the podcast with him and his friends called Netflix Movie Reviews. Anything AMG podcast, you guys can follow us and subscribe to the channel. Leave some ratings, leave some comments about the show, what you enjoy about them. Over at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, anywhere you listen to your podcasts on. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at YouTube Action Movie Guys. All the podcasts is there for you guys. Or once it gets uploaded, it goes right to YouTube or YouTube Music. You guys can listen to it on the go also from there if you guys have YouTube Music. Other than that, he is your host,
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.